You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Mike, founder of DollarShaveClub.com. What is DollarShaveClub.com? Well, for a dollar a month, we send high-quality razors right to your door. Yeah, a dollar. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great. Each razor has stainless steel blades, an aloe vera lubricating strip, and a pivot head. It's so gentle a toddler could use it. And do you like spending $20 a month on brand name razors? 19 go to Roger Federer. I'm good at tennis.
And do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome ass grandfather had one blade and polio. Looking good, pop up! Stop paying for shave tech you don't need. And stop forgetting to buy your blades every month. Alejandro and I are going to ship them right to you. We're not just selling razors. We're also making new jobs. Alejandro, what were you doing last month?
Not working.
What are you doing now?
Working.
I'm no Vanderbilt, but this train makes hay. So stop forgetting to buy your blades every month and start deciding where you're going to stack all those dollar bills I'm saving you. We are DollarShaveClub.com, and the party is on.
Hadestown is Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning best musical. It's an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, says Forbes. A Broadway musical like no other. The New York Times raves, Hadestown is as good as it gets. Get your tickets now to Hadestown.
1 week only, October 25th through the 30th at the Civic Center Music Hall. For tickets, visit OKCBroadway.com.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Ashton was a high-level athlete, and in an instant, your world flips, and your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor. And the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Enterprise isn't just one of the world's largest transportation providers. We're a committed team, helping you get to what matters most, your family, your livelihood, and your next adventure. Getting you there begins with our employees, who are motivated to make a difference for you every day. Around the world and around the corner, in neighborhoods like yours. Connecting you to all the places you love. That's Enterprise.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Ashton was a high-level athlete, and in an instant, your world flips, and your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor. And the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Introducing Peacock, the new free streaming service from NBC Universal. It's hit movies, current shows, live sports, trending bits, and timeless hits. And that's why you can't not watch. Peacock, watch for free, upgrade for more. Stream now at PeacockTV.com. Law & Order SVU streaming now.
Streaming only on Peacock.
John Wayne Gacy is suspected of having killed as many as 32.
Straight from the killer's mouth.
They want you to believe that I alone committed these murders.
The new gripping 6-part documentary series that investigates the crimes that shocked the nation.
The thing everybody thought they knew wasn't the whole story.
John Wayne Gacy, Devil in Disguise. All episodes streaming now.
Devil in Disguise.
Only on Peacock.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
if you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Order! Order! The court has come to a ruling on the QT Snackle, and it finds it to be a food or a drink.
Objection, Your Honor!
Overruled! Based on QT's thousands of beverages, from fountain drinks and frizzonis to fresh brewed teas and more, a Snackle can clearly be a drink.
Well, you make a great point.
Good. Then why are we yelling?
I don't know. Let's go get a Snackle.
Court dismissed!
When it's time to Snackle, it's time for summer drinks at Quick Trip. QT. More than a gas station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
From the great American Southwest, I bid you welcome. This is Juxtaposition. I am one of your hosts, Ordy Packard. Rick had to step away for a moment because his dog was going nuts. And I want to welcome you all. How you doing? The week is over, and we're ready to settle in for some weirdness. Rick, are you back with us? Apparently he is not.
Yeah, I'm back.
So let me, we have a special, you're back?
Yeah, I'm back.
You're back, Rick.
To tell you,
hi.
Yeah, how you doing, man? What's up?
I'm doing great.
So
I am doing fantastic.
So it's every other Friday night on KLRM Radio where we put politics to bed for at least 2 hours. So if you missed the first hour, the I Do This For Free podcast just dropped. You can check it out after this show, please. And we're live right here on Juxtaposition, another show where we really try to stay completely away from the realm of politics. It's kind of... more based into it's kind of an ode to the old Coast to Coast AM show before Nori killed it. I know I know it's still there, but as far as I'm concerned, it's dead.
You know, everybody says that when he moved from St. Louis to LA, that was the end of the era because he went to Hollywood.
It's just not the same anymore. But so we've decided we're going to touch on a topic that we haven't touched on before. And because of that, we actually brought on a special guest co-host who's actually very well-versed in the topic. He actually made a point in the chat room a few weeks ago of telling us that this was like his strongest subject ever, and that if we ever did a show on it, he wanted to be on. So we have the one, the only, now on his second appearance here on KLRM Radio, Ron, and good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. How the heck are you guys?
We are doing great. It's Friday night. I don't have to go back to the day job for two whole days. I mean, I've got a bunch of stuff to do here to get caught up, but at least I don't have to go get yelled at about other people's. That's always good. But yeah, anyway.
Always.
So, I know that we said we wanted to talk about shadow people. So, Ron, you actually mentioned that this is one of your favorite subjects, so I'm going to let you kind of lead things off. Why don't you tell us a little bit about shadow people and how you've gotten interested in it, and just basically whatever you want.
Okay. Basically, I'm a ghost adventure type TV junkie, and I watch anything that's on the Travel Channel that really deals with the subject, and shadow people have been kind of a favorite topic of mine. This is something you guys probably don't know, because when I was in high school, I saw one, and it was kind of creepy, and we can talk about that, but ever since then, I've been paying attention, reading some of the literature on them, and like that.
Well, see, I knew it was a favorite subject of yours. I wasn't aware that you were actually somebody that we could interview. So why don't you tell us about your shadow people experience from high school?
Well, it only happened once, and which is kind of unusual. I was in my room, fast asleep. I slept by myself, and, I had my own bedroom, and woke up one night, and there was a hooded figure standing over my bed looking at me. It didn't really have a form, and as we'll talk about as we go through this, shadow people generally don't have much of a human look to them. They're basically featureless and almost always faithless, but sometimes they do wear period clothing or cloaks. Some are noted for wearing hats. Mine was in a hood. It didn't particularly scare me. I just kind of stared at it for a while, and basically it went poof. And I thought, that was interesting, and went back to bed.
Now, was this in falling asleep stage or waking up stage?
It was the coming out of sleep stage.
All right. Yeah, in some of the research I did, it's kind of funny. You hit all the notes with the classical encounter with them. In the research I've done with this, there's generally five types. There's the positive type. These are the ones that just walk past. What it is, to understand to begin with, it's shadow forms you generally see peripherally. Sometimes you can focus right in on them, but they're mostly out of your peripheral vision. You just kind of, you saw something, and then when you look over there, it's gone. But the five types that I've found that there are, there's the positive ones. These are the ones who just walk through your room. They pay no attention to you whatsoever. They couldn't care less about you. There's the negative ones that kind of linger, like you were talking about, that, you know, they're just kind of, they're interested in you, but not really, and you get a kind of a creepy vibe from them. That's when the hair stands up on the back of your neck when you see one. Then there's the red-eyed ones, and I'm sure we'll get into that in the show, too. The hooded one, which you mentioned, is the longest-running one. They're the ones that have been reported throughout history. It's the one consistent theme with all of them. And the funny thing, you talked about period clothing. People are starting to now, the hooded ones are now starting to be seen wearing actual hoodies instead of the monk's robe that they've traditionally been known for. And then there's the Hat Man that I believe you mentioned as well. And that's usually in when you notice them, they look like they're either wearing a fedora or a wide brimmed hat.
Yeah, he's a scary guy.
Yeah, and as you go through each stage of them, they become more malevolent. You know, it's like I said, you had the negative ones that give you the kind of the creepy feeling, and then when you get into the hooded ones and the red eyes and the hat one, you can feel actual malevolence. People report feeling actual malevolence from them, fear for their life.
Yeah, I didn't have that particular feeling from mine, but I'm sure that given a different time and place, it could have happened.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting common themes that I saw was the same thing that you were talking about, Ordy, where people are always talking about a lot of times they were having a feeling of malevolence, and some of them even said they didn't feel like they were in the presence of something that they would have considered once a human. They've described being menaced, chased, sometimes even attacked by shadow people. I've never had any experience with it, but that would probably freak me out.
Well, you know, I've been honest of my past on the show, and, you know, I had a meth habit for a little while, and I don't want to say I saw them, but in understanding kind of the psychology around it, that some of the sleep deprivation that comes with it, it's kind of like you get that feeling where there's stuff coming at you out of your peripheral vision, and you feel not normal, and whether you want to talk that up to the drug usage or... You know, whether, you know, psychotropic drugs and drugs in general have always been used to contact the spirit world, whether it's vision quests or whatever. And, you know, some of the attributions is meth opens up the parts of your brain that allows you to see them more frequently or more regularly.
I've even read stuff that people would take Benadryl frequently for like hay fever or whatever. That triggers them. I think there's a lot to that. And we can get into some of the things that they think can trigger shadow person episodes if you want.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, there's a lot of different theories on them. First is obviously they are paranormal, thought of as ghosts or spirits. I don't tend to put them in that category. I think there's something a little bit different than full-on apparitions or anything like that. Then there are some people theorize that they're time travelers, that they're just shadows of people that come back in time, and that's how we them, which is kind of strange to me. I would have thought that, you know, it'd be like something you see on a sci-fi TV show where you just kind of hang out with the time traveler and, you know, help him save the world, whatever. The third thing is that people think that they can be triggered by astral projection, which I don't know if how many of the people in the audience know what that is. There was a lot of research done on that in CIA dark programs. Basically, it's where people train themselves to leave their bodies and go pretty much anywhere they want to go.
Yeah, you're talking about Project Stargate there.
Yeah. And so that they're seeing remnants of those people. Other people were seeing remnants of those people, and they take them as shadow persons. What's the fifth one?
Well, there's the transdimensional being. That where, yeah, and this kind of goes with the Mandela effect we've talked about, because we are butting up against alternate realities and other dimensions. That, you know, it's sometimes the bubbles get close enough to where we can see what's going on in the next one.
Yeah. Which I find fascinating myself is, you know, I'm a kind of a proponent of multiple universes and all that kind of stuff, but I've always been crazy also, so there is that. So yeah, that's kind of where I did want to mention that before we get too far, that shadow people have been reported throughout antiquity. You can find them in almost any religion. In the West, we tend to attribute them somewhat to demons, which is neither here nor there for me. Like I said, when I saw mine, I wasn't particularly terrified or anything. But they also are attributed in some of the Middle Eastern religions as the jinn or the genies. And there's also a form of them, it's a word I can't pronounce, in the Far East that attributes shadow people to their culture. So they are out there in all religions, all phases of civilization, and you know, I think we're just starting to maybe scratch the surface of bringing hard science into doing some research on them to the extent that we can.
Yeah, the problem with a phenomenon like this, and in my research for the show, brushing up on the topic used to fascinate me back in the days of Art Bell. And in some of the brushing up I did on it, is it's one of the hardest to scientifically prove, because you have overlapping psychological, psychotropic issues between psychology and drugs. And then you also have, how do you empirically measure something that's only seen in the peripheral vision generally? And the peripheral vision is only there to help you put pieces together. It's the same. It triggers the same parts of the brain that lets us see rabbits in clouds and, you know, Jesus in toast and things like that. So, you know, so it's the part of the brain that tries to make sense of everything, you know, while your regular vision is taking in the most stimuli. So as far as research goes, they're doing the best they can with it, but they just basically said, it's going to be one of those things we just probably can never prove unless, you know, like Chad is talking about and we've talked about, if it is a transdimensional being that our dimensions just kind of sit on top of each other for a minute and we all see our doppelgangers before it moves back on.
That would terrify me more than shadow people.
I mean, two Ortys? Jesus.
One means more than enough.
I'm pretty sure that would result in some sort of paradox where everything would explode.
Yeah, that's divided by zero.
Oh, but yeah, it's interesting to think about the different ideas. I mean, it's what I love about these topics is everybody in the chat room is talking about it too. I mean, Jody even referenced a couple of things that I thought were interesting. Apparently, one of her children had a shadow person experience when they were, when they were in school in Tulsa. And she also, speaking of like the multiple dimensions and all that other stuff, she'd also mentioned, talking too fast, I'm losing it. There we go. So middle son, who, when he was two, said that he could remember his old mom when his name was Luke, but he died and now he has me for a mom.
Yeah, past life regression, that. We could do an entire show on that one, too. That is another topic that fascinates me. But, you know, with the topic, like Ron, you touched on, too, is that how it's in every culture. You know, a lot of them, you know, we'll call it the red eyes. The red eyes are the ones that I really have the hardest time wrapping my brain around, because I just like, okay, you know, that really doesn't sound shadow people. That sounds demonic. And let's leave that one to... Let's put that one where it belongs, because it just, I don't know. But anyway, every culture has its demons. Like you said, the jinn, the Japanese, the Chinese, Christianity. humanity. They all have their demons, and the malevolence that's described from the red eyes, that sounds demonic. I mean, that's active hate that they're describing when they encounter those.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about the red eyes is that they, you know, typically it's atypical for shadow people to have features. So that kind of goes against the grain, too, and I think that helps tilt it toward what you're saying as far as some kind of demonic beings.
Yeah, right, and that's, but, you know, the rest of them, they're actually pretty, you know, archetypal for not so much the ghost spirit world, but the spirit guide, the ancestor, well, not even really the ancestor really counts, but the pantheon of gods and everything, they really sound more active towards that. You know, just kind of the spirits among us that you really don't see or interact with.
Yeah. I think one of the things that you mentioned about studying them, and one of the things that makes it so difficult, and maybe we never will get a handle on it, is they're very transigent. I mean, the typical shadow person really doesn't want to be seen. There, you might catch them out of the corner of your eye, peeking around the corner of the door frame or a wall. And as soon as you turn your head toward them, they're gone. Even the full-on ones have been known to react to light if you, you know, happen to turn on a nightstand or something. I don't know what all that means as far as, you know, how they are trying to interact with us or why they interact with us, but it is part of literature.
Yeah, they really seem to be one-off, too, where, you know, like ghosts and spirits, they recur, you know, and that's what makes them, that's why there's the Ghost Hunters show and everything, that makes them a studyable occurrence. But when most people report shadow people, it's a one-off.
Yeah.
You know, it happened once and never again, and they can never recreate the situations to bring it about, except for the instances of sleep paralysis.
Yeah, that, what's the name of it, hypnagogic and hypnopropic, I think it is. One of them's coming out of sleep, one of them's going into sleep. That seems to be one of the bigger triggers that, you know, people have to deal with, is they've got this particular problem. Everybody has sleep paralysis. When you go to sleep and you start dreaming, you don't really want to start acting out your subconscious, you know, punching your spouse or significant other in the face, you know.
Right. You just start fear punching, lashing out. Yeah, no, exactly. And that's, you know, that's a valid point, too, is that, you know, everybody does have sleep paralysis. So they are entering these two phasic states. And, yeah, this also goes kind of with the story of the hag that would sit on your chest and cause sleep paralysis, too, that, you know, they're all kind of the same thing, where it's a, you notice it as you're going into and coming out, you're still paralyzed, you can't do anything about it, and then it's gone. Yeah, it's like, oh, shit, they're awake, and then they take off, and, you know, and like I said, never to be heard from again.
Yeah, but one of the scarier aspects of shadow people that does occur is people describe them as, like you said, sitting on their chest, making it difficult to breathe. They even describe being choked by them. I don't have any experience with that, but I know that, you know, that does exist in people's tales that they tell.
Hey, Rick, were we going to take a break, or...
Yeah, I was actually about to get one queued up. I was going to say, okay, we're going to take a break.
I didn't want to start into another line. I just noticed the clock.
Yeah, no, I found something that we haven't talked about yet, which makes me feel pretty good since I just started researching this the other day. I have another take on shadow people. It kind of dovetails into something Ron was talking about earlier. We're going to keep this topic going on the other side of the break. Stay with us. This is Juxtaposition right here live on KLRNradio.com, where liberty, reason, and craziness on every other Friday night does still ring. We'll see you guys in a bit.
Second thing Second, don't you tell me what you think that I can be. I'm the one at the sail, I'm the master of my sea, oh, ooh, the master of my sea, oh, ooh.
Hadestown is Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning best musical. It's an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, says Forbes. A Broadway musical like no other. The New York Times raves, Hadestown is as good as it gets. Get your tickets now to Hadestown.
1 week only, October 25th through the 30th at the Civic Center Music Hall. For tickets, visit OKCBroadway.com.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm. But even then, he wanted an MBA. He looked at it.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice of the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Life is full of things to manage. Your work, your family, your plans, and your treatment. Consider Kesimpta, ofatumumab 20 milligram injection. You can take it yourself from the comfort of home. If you're ready for something different, ask your healthcare provider about Kesimpta and check out the details at Kesimpta.com. Brought to you by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation.
A dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 $3 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
And shaking my soul into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, took at me, shook at me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the.
And welcome back to Juxtaposition, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to let that thing run for a while. I don't know what it is about that song. That has to be one of my favorite Imagine Dragons songs ever. All right, so anyway, this is Juxtaposition. We've been talking Shadow People. I have my co-host with me here, Mr. Ordy Packard, the one, the only, the Opium and Amish. We also have Ron, a recurring host here on KLRM Radio, who's now making a second appearance. Shadow People happens to be one of his favorite topics, so we promised we would have him on when we decided to have this discussion. So, before we went to break, I noticed that some of the research that I looked into hasn't been talked about yet, so we're going to go into that now. And this is going to be interesting. This is going to kind of be like a juxtaposition sandwich, because it's going to cover all kinds of different things and still tie into Shadow People, which makes it even more interesting. All right, I think that's probably just about enough of the music. All right, so, Ron had talked about this earlier. There is a theory that the Shadow People are actually tied to Jen, or what we commonly kind of refer to as genies. But the interesting thing about that is they also mention why they typically mostly appear as basically nearly formless and no features is because the Jen are actually shapeshifters. So in one study that was done, somebody had kind of interviewed some people that were commonly reporting experiences with Shadow People. They were also commonly reporting experiences of E.T. alien abductions. So one of the theories that's kind of come into play because of that is that the Jen are actually shapeshifters and that they actually take different forms. This might also explain some of the way that you'll notice that a lot of the people that report having worse experiences with the Shadow People are typically in a really bad place in their life. It kind of makes me wonder if the Jen aren't feeding off of their emotions. And maybe they're creating some of their own problems.
Well, that's been one of the topics with the more malevolent forms of Shadow People, too, is that they feed on the fear. They feed on the energy itself. And I know it's a common trope in sci-fi, the fear eaters. But it's that's one of the things that the Shadow People are known for, is feeding off your fear.
Yeah, and it can also be anxiety, stress, any number of negative emotions that somebody is going through has been known to trigger that. So, be happy, everybody out there, and you won't have any problems.
The interesting thing is I also noticed a few references where people were referring to Shadow People as potentially what could be considered an emotional vampire, because not only do they get in contact with people that are having those negative emotions, it seems as if they actually feed off of them.
as Jess just said in the chat, they're IRS agents.
I think she's right.
Right. But yeah, it's that tracks with, you know, what I've picked up on the topic too, is that not only feeding on fear, but like you said, energy vampires. It's another one that, you know, the myth is always they're in the peripheral. You know, they don't come at you straight on; they come at you sideways, as the old saying is.
Yeah, the interesting thing is now this is getting into maybe some silliness, but on the go shows that I mentioned at the top of the program, the interesting thing is that every time somebody says, "Whoa, there's a shadow person," I just saw it. It's gone already. So you never see him on camera, or rarely see him on camera, which is not to say that people haven't gotten pictures of them. They have. But, yeah, usually when you're talking about seeing something on those types of shows, you know, you're talking about apparitions. And one other thing about shadow people as opposed to ghosts is you won't hear any EVPs from them. They typically do not try to communicate in any way with whoever they're appearing to.
Yeah, I mean, they just come along and do what they're going to do. It's like topping off the gas tank. You know, they don't care about you at all. And like I said, you know, the positive ones, air quote positive ones, because I don't see how anything could be positive. But they just walk right on by. Don't even pay attention to you. But the other ones feel like they're topping off the tank on something.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's good for everybody, because I don't want him to be reoccurring and everything. They don't do attachments like you'll see with apparitions or ghosts or true demons, where they'll follow people or, you know, start to go all Linda Blair on them and, you know, possess you or something. That's not how it works.
Suck you into the TV.
Yeah. Make you green tea.
Towards the light, Carolyn. Oh, sorry.
Jody in chat, no, that's cats. Oh, she's talking about, Jess said, they eat your soul.
Actually,
yes, those are cats. Cats are shadow people. Yeah, interesting thing, too, is that with, you don't hear or see about it as much when they talk about how they're formless. I do recall back in the days of Art Bell, the discussion of shadow animals, too, where they weren't quite upright. They weren't moving like, you know, people. They were more low to the ground, more basic, primal, and, you know, just like animals, like cats, shadow dogs.
Alan Chat just had an interesting thing where he says maybe they see us as shadows too, and maybe when they talk about the veil in front of our eyes, maybe that's just it. You know, we're on, you know, the other side of the see-through curtain or something, you know.
You know, that's another thing I was thinking about too, with the whole transdimensional end of it, and why the red eyes don't make sense, is that if the interdimensional membrane were to be pierced for a moment, and you're looking at their shadow, and they're looking at your shadow, you know, the fear that you feel could be their fear as well. So, yeah, I mean, you could be their shadow people, they could be your shadow people, and, like, you know, 90% of the time we don't notice each other, but that one, you know, that one moment, which once again brings out the heightened awareness of coming in and out of sleep or drugs use or whatever, you know, makes you more aware of that moment, makes them more. Maybe that's the negative ones, and the other ones is whatever's in that dimension. You know, you're seeing each other at the same time. You know, they're coming into their room and saying, "What are you doing in my bed?" Meanwhile, you're in bed going, "What are you doing at the door to my room?" And you have that cross-dimensional fear.
I really like that idea.
So here's an interesting little twist on this, though, right? So the interdimensional idea. So you'd mentioned maybe we're their shadow people and they're ours. What if your alternate self in another universe is seeing your shadow peoples? Or you as shadow people?
Yeah.
You're your own shadow.
And, you know, that kind of ties with it, because everybody does have a shadow. You know, it's that little piece of darkness that follows them around. It would make sense that you would somehow be interacting with your shadow on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're seeing your shadow.
I've seen some reference to the shadow person being created by all the negative things that we see in ourselves that we want to repress. And they just keep growing and getting bigger until the point where they kind of explode on you, and you have your experience with the shadow people, which I don't know, because why would that only happen once? It's not like you get rid of all your bad stuff in one fell swoop, you know.
Well, I mean, there are
you don't purge your demons in one epiphany moment of whoa, that's dark.
I mean, there are people that do have recurring stories about seeing shadow people, though. So, I mean, it is possible. I mean, it could honestly be. I mean, there is that part of your ego called the id, which is kind of the creative side. It reminds me of that, what was that movie, Forbidden Planet, where the dude's id was, like, manifesting things and it was trying to kill people?
I believe so, you're correct, yes.
I mean, and you know, it could be just a, it could be a more benign version of that, for all we know. I mean, there's any number of things that it could be. I honestly think, though, it's probably more akin to what we've been talking about just now, which is that basically the barrier between dimensions occasionally waxes a little thin, and we're probably seeing, even if it's not necessarily our alternate selves, people from that dimension, and they're probably seeing us in much the same way, and we're probably scaring the hell out of each other.
Of all possible reality, that makes sense for everything except for the hooded man and the man in the fedora, because I don't own a fedora. But
the other dimension might. Maybe you in the other dimension likes fedoras.
Maybe fedoras are very popular in monk's robes and hoodies. Hoodies are coming back here, so sure. Okay, yeah, they're fashionable over there now.
When they start wearing skull caps, then I'll be thinking about seeing myself as a shadow.
Yeah, when they have the man bun man, I'm checking out.
Yeah.
Oh, there was actually something that I saw the other day that made me think of that. it was the male version of a beehive called the he-hive. It was a joke, but it was still terrible.
That's like the bad beards that people were eating ramen out of. Just, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Stop with that garbage. But we got off track there. But no, I mean, the interdimensional spin on it, that's the one that, if I have to believe it, and if I have to believe it in some way, that way seems the most rational to me. Yeah, as we've talked about in the past on other shows, Occam's Razor.
Yep.
That one requires the least number of assumptions.
And it probably is the most accurate, because the more we understand quantum physics now, the less likely it is that we could possibly believe that we are the only variant of a universe that there could be. And that, honestly, is just something that's always been fascinating to me, because I've always wondered, you know, everything that we create, you know, like books and movies and everything else, are we actually creating alternate dimensions and recording them?
Well, one of the theories of alternate realities is that every decision made creates another reality where that decision was not made. You know, it's the
I don't like that, because that means there's a dimension where I'm a morning show host on KOKC, and it's not this one. So that theory can kiss my ass. No,
if you want to think about what a hell that creates, think about standardized testing. Every question where you answered from A to D, there's another reality where you answer. So standardized testing is filling up the multiverse.
Oh, but maybe that's why everything's starting to die.
Or bounce into each other, yeah. Maybe that's why we're getting dimensional bleed. We're filling up the void.
Multiverse is going to collapse on itself.
Yeah.
You know, little black marks on paper.
I always knew standardized testing would be the end of us all.
That just means,
I'm telling you.
We got off track here, but where you at on this one, Ron?
I guess the one thing that we haven't touched on really or gone into any depth on is our old friend, the hat guy. The hat guy has attributed to him. He generally is, again, it's I say he, but there's no gender-specific shadow person. They are featureless, as we've said. However, he is typically seen wearing a trench coat or some kind of overcoat. He's often seen in either a fedora or a wide-brim hat. And the thing that makes him freaky is quite often he is referred to as a harbinger of something bad happening, either death or, you know, bad accident, bad sickness or illness, that kind of thing. He's one I don't want to see.
It kind of reminded me, if you saw Fringe, remember the guy with the shaved head, the shaved eyebrows that was always like dumping a metric ton of Tabasco into his food? But he was kind of like the hairbringer of doom too. And he wore a business suit. So yeah, when I was reading the description, I thought of a shadowy version of him.
That's basically what it is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
No, I was going to say, honestly, I think that's probably where they got the idea for the character.
No, obviously. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously. Because it's also, you know, the image of the 60s era man in black kind of thing, but a shadowy version of that as well. You know, the business suit, the trench coat, the fedora, the not really discernible features.
I think the thing that makes them most scary is they've been described as wearing Undertaker garb. That would kind of do it to me.
Well, you know, you never know. Shadow people could be the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they always everybody started seeing them first in big, thick robes and hoods. You know. Common garb. Common garb for the... just saying.
You want to talk about that link you just posted, Rick?
Might as well. We got about...
we're down to 10 minutes.
Yeah, might as well. So, for those of you following along in the chat, I just posted a link in there. You may not be aware, but Smod missed this by that much. And yes, I'm holding up the Maxwell Smart little fingers, because it was close, but not close enough. For those of you that have been rooting on Smod...
Yeah, there was what's called a city killer at size asteroid buzzed between the Earth and the Moon on Thursday. And like with most of these giant rocks spinning around our solar system, we didn't know it until it was passing. So, I mean, it was like right there. It's, you know, it wasn't huge. It was about 500 feet by 200 feet. And it was teams from Brazil and JPL found it. And this is what bugs me about the climate change conversation, is that they're worried about something that's going to happen 20,000, 50,000 years from now with the ice age and everything else. There are rocks buzzing around our solar system that can take us out at any given moment, and the number of people looking for them is less than the staff of a busy McDonald's.
That's absolutely terrifying.
And that's... just, you know, going with, you know, in Al's show earlier, talking about us getting into space, this is where our money needs to be going. Not solar, not wind farms, we need to be looking for these planet killers.
I mean,
just said, Portland, Seattle would be a good start for the city killer.
Yeah, this is true. I don't know.
Can't disagree.
Unfortunately, Frisco's kind of hit that list too, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, Frisco and LA, they got the quake coming. So, but you know, let's
yeah,
go.
I forget, I forget what NASA's budget for. They have an office of near Earth objects, and part of their task is to look for these asteroids that buzz in. But the other stuff that they have, their task with, is looking for all the nuts and bolts that floated out of spacecraft and stuff. So they've got a mess on their hands, and it really needs to be staffed larger than it is and taken seriously.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk, and I mean, it's another sci-fi trope is that if it keeps going the way it's going, we won't be able to leave the Earth because we will have. But that's, I mean, there's a lot of junk up there, but when you think about how big space is, that the confining us with our own space garbage isn't really likely, especially a lot of it's going to get sucked into the gravity and pulled down. But these near-Earth objects, these Earth-crossing asteroids, these are extinction-level events. These are Yellowstone events. These are big rocks, you know, with massive amounts of kinetic energy behind them.
Yeah, they're coming in fast.
So Jody has an interesting question, and we might need to research it. Do we know if any other countries are putting any manpower into looking for asteroids?
Very few. Very few. And when I said the number of people looking for them, that's with NASA JPL being one of the largest space agencies on the planet. I mean, you have Japan and other space-ready civilizations on the planet that are not really – they have even less invested in it. And most of the people who find these are amateur astronomers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just Joe Buck out there with his telescope, and you know, he sees something and then watches it over a couple nights, and oh hey, you know, can we get it? Then they'll call JPL or whoever their country's organization is. Can you get a track on this? And then oh hey, there's another one. And only about, I'm going off memory here, I think only 80% of the large objects in our solar system has been cataloged. So that leaves like 20% out there just, that we assume is out there, just kind of, we don't know where it's at.
Well, yeah, and the other problem that they've got is they have the asteroid belt, which is basically a cosmic pool table. And, you know.
And the Oort cloud too.
Yeah.
Kuiper belt objects. That's another pool table waiting to get shot in. But yeah, it's like we've been around. The solar system's been around for several billion years, so it's kind of it's mostly static. But every now and then, something gets jarred. Static is a bad word. How to best describe that? You know, I'm just going to say it's mostly. Mostly stabilized, but there's still a lot of rogue element out there.
Yeah, I always think of, you know, asteroids roaming around like, you know, what happens after you break anybody that plays pool, you know, what happens, you know. At some point, they were probably all pretty well clustered together. Something hit them, and they've been bouncing around ever since. It's like a giant pool break. And they're just...
Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of like the rings of Saturn. It's been... They're... kind of stable, but like you said, over the process of hundreds of thousands, millions of years, two objects' gravities start pulling themselves to each other. They either become joined, like the comets we see that actually have two nucleuses or nuclei, or they bounce off each other and now both have a random orbit.
Nerd, you said nuclei right. Just kidding.
Yeah. So.
All right. So
that's my take on that topic.
So we are just about out of time, and I know I promised no politics for the last couple hours, but I think this might be important enough to go ahead and break that rule. Breaking news story from just about 20 minutes ago, President Trump has given Attorney General William Barr the authority to release all declassified Spygate documents to the House Intelligence Vice Chairman Devin Nunes.
Oh, this is just going to continue the Democrats' very bad, not so good week.
It's going to turn into a not so good, very bad decade if they keep this stuff up.
Now, along those lines, too, I did see earlier today when I was at work, but I haven't seen a lot of traffic on it, that apparently the SCOTUS ruled that Pentagon funds can be used to build the wall.
Yes, I actually, the first tweet I did with that was
build the wall with the dancing baby was a hashtag.
I got a local story for you. Nick Sandman, the guy who smirked to the chagrin of all liberals out there in January, his lawsuit for $250 million against the Washington Post has been thrown out by federal court.
Bummer.
Yeah, he's still got two irons in the fire, though.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
He should be able to hit him with something one way or the other. I'm sure something's going to fall his way. I just think it's funny. The first thing Nancy Pelosi puts out after that decision is, the president is the president, not a monarch. And I'm like, dude, two out of the three branches of government say it's cool, and you're still the one arguing that it's not right. Just shut up. But anyway, we should probably get out of here, guys. We're just about back to the top of the hour. Why don't you, so we're going to start with Ron, since you are the guest co-host. Why don't you remind folks where it is that they can interact with you when you're not occasionally hanging out with us right here on KLRN Radio?
Well, you can find me under Ron D. 1954, and being I have obsessive compulsive behavior, that's my name everywhere, Twitter, Parler, Facebook, for those who still use it, someday on CloudHub, hopefully.
Sometime in October.
That's me.
Sometime in
October. That's what I heard.
Speaking of CloudHub, guys, if you do have a smartphone and you'd like to go check out what is quickly becoming one of the coolest social media sites out there, I do encourage that you check them out. Parlay, I thought, was going to be pretty awesome, but they're starting to... Everybody's now starting to refer to them as Red Twitter because they've adopted some of the same policies about ads and selling your data, which would make me a little more paranoid about giving them a copy of my driver's license if I wasn't already a semi-public figure anyway. But you can follow along with me at RowdyRick73. Please also follow along with the station at KLR Radio. You can pretty much find the station on a lot of social media platforms as well as myself. And, of course, I have the Amish guy who I'm going to let give out his deets now.
Well, to recap tonight, we've got Shadow People, Planet Killers, and I'm already Packard. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, folks. We're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for joining us for the double shot of the non-political talk, at least until that last couple of minutes. It helps if I remember which way the damn slider is supposed to go. They really need to make that vertical again. It's so much easier to deal with when it's vertical. Anyway, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. I'll be back with you Monday night on America Off the Rails. Ordy will be back with us at some point in 2 weeks at least. Also, before I forget, don't forget, Wednesday night we have the Chat Lives Matter Day, and also instead of the conservative convention, it will be myself, Ordy, and Jeannie on toxic masculinity, and I'm sure G will try to kill us as usual, but you guys can join in and listen to me bitch about him trying to kill me with a workout. It's fun, I promise. Maybe. All right, we'll see you guys later. Take care. God bless. From the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at...
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? Our professional parts people will test it for free. If it does need to be replaced, we'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Our Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.